Like to call to order the meeting of the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. It's Wednesday, July 8th, 2015, at 4:30 p.m., Community Center in the Sierra Room, at 851 East Williams Street, Carson City, Nevada. Note, the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization is pleased to make reasonable accommodations for members of the public who are disabled and wish to attend the meeting. If special arrangements for the meeting are necessary, please notify Campo staff in writing at 3505 Buddeye Way, Carson City, Nevada, 89701, or comments at carsonareampo.com, or call Patrick Penninger at 775-887-2355 as soon as possible. The request for this meeting would have been at 12 p.m. on July the 6th. For more information regarding any of these items listed on the agenda, please contact Patrick Penninger, Transportation Manager, at 775-887-2355. Additionally, the agenda will be with all the supporting materials posted on the Campo website at www.carsonareampo.com or is available upon request at 3505 Buddeye Way, Carson City, Nevada. Our agenda, start off with item A, which is roll call and determination of a quorum.
Chairperson Fiera.
Here.
Vice Chair Erb. Member Bankowski.
Here.
Member Kroll.
Here.
Member Kimbrough.
Here.
Member McQuarrie.
Here.
Member Smolensky.
Here.
Member Rosenberg. A quorum's present.
Thank you. Item B is public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the MPO may approach the podium and speak on matters related to MPO. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future MPO meeting. No action will be taken upon a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Is there anybody in the audience today that came to address us under public comment? Seeing none, we'll move on to item C for possible action, approval of the minutes. C1, for possible action, action to approve the minutes of the May 13th, 2015 meeting. And if there's not any corrections, is there anybody that's ready for a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of May 13, 2015. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. D, agenda management notice. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order, and Campo may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. And Campo may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussing relating to an item on the agenda at any time. Item E is disclosures. Any member of the MPO that may wish to explain any contact with the public regarding an item on the agenda or business of the MPO. Is there any disclosures? Seeing none, we'll move on to item F, which is public meeting items. F1 for possible action. To accept the Nevada Department of Transportation, NDOT, Fiscal Year 2016 Work Program, Short Range Element, SRE, a Long Range Element, LRE, for the Campo area. Staff summary. NDOT staff will present their updated work program as it relates to Campo and will be available to answer any potential questions. All right, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for giving NDOT the opportunity. My name is Rudy Malfbon, Director for Nevada Department of Transportation. Hello, Mayor. I wanted to introduce some of the folks that accompany me today. First off, Thor Dyson, our district engineer, who's been dealing with flooding, as you can see. He was, our state controller, Ron Connect, who's a member of our transportation board. Some of Thor's staff that are with him, Mike Lampshire and Steve Williams, from his maintenance crews and maintenance managers. Lee Bonner is going to assist me with this presentation. He's with our planning, and we were glad to get Lee. Being a former county commissioner, he's been a great asset to our planning group. Also, instruct us at NDOT on how to do better with kind of meeting our obligations to counties across the state of Nevada. Other folks from planning that are here today, Andrea Edwards is in our planning staff. Pat Trevenan is our transit staff. Jessica Riggleman is an intern in our planning department. And Bob Madewell, who manages our roadway systems department in planning. We also have We have Paul Schneider and Christina Leach from Federal Highways Administration. Paul is the Assistant Division Administrator in the Division Office here in Carson City, and Christina is the Head of Planning for the Division Office of FHWA, who are great partners, bring a lot of funding to the Nevada Department of Transportation, and great asset to the Department for Technical Services as well. I think I covered all the introductions, so I'm going to continue on. This is a great opportunity for us to talk about what's happening at the not only the on our work program, but also federal funding issues, state funding issues, and local funding issues, and hear feedback from you as far as transportation concerns and issues. We also do a formal consultation, kind of more of a workshop later in the year, and a lot of that information just is a cycle that's ongoing. Helps keep us informed of what your needs are, and also to work together to deliver those needs. So we have the workshops in the fall. This time of the year, we're presenting our work program, and then it gets consolidated and adopted by our transportation board as a work program and the kind of the midterm and longer term projects that are on our radar. Our first priority is obviously safety. And I wanted to take advantage of Member Connect from our Transportation Board being here as a state controller. He recently wrote an editorial about zero fatalities, and I wanted to make the distinction between what we see as a vision for our department of zero fatalities being more of the end game, a long-term vision. But we do have a view of our five-year rolling average. So on a realistic basis, we have to look at about a 3% annual decrease in fatalities, and so that by 2030 we want to cut our current levels in half. So we are realistic in implementing programs and projects that are going to drive those numbers down. And we look at crash data. We provided in your information packet crash data that's specific to Carson area, and you can see that from some of these areas that we have groups that are focused on lane departures, so run off the road kind of crashes, occupant protection, seatbelt usage, impaired driving, whether it's drugs or alcohol, that's a significant issue, and intersections. Where we see in those areas, there's been a trend downward. Unfortunately, there's been a trend upwards in pedestrian fatalities and serious injuries. And we also recently added a group that's focused on motorcycle safety as well in our strategic highway safety plan. So we have some work to do ahead of us in the area of pedestrian safety to reverse that trend that's been increasing. And I know that there's been some horrific crashes here resulting in fatalities in Carson City with pedestrians. And the fact that they're in a crosswalk does not protect them from a vehicle that's where the driver's not paying attention. So both drivers, pedestrians, bicyclists, motorcyclists, anyone that's using the road has to be aware and use caution when they're crossing a road or just driving, operating a vehicle on the road. What we do is try to establish, and you can see what the challenge is to us with this kind of the incidents happen all over the city. So some of them are fatal, some are serious injuries, some are property damage only, but we track all of that working with law enforcement in our database. And it's difficult to address every area that the crashes and fatalities occur at once, but we are going to be more focused on using the data that's available to define where we spend the money. Looking at the five-year overview in Carson City, unfortunately, we've had 17 fatalities that occurred in 13 fatal crashes. Lots of injuries, lots of crashes. So a lot of work to be done, but this gives you an idea that we are capturing that data and we use it to focus our efforts to reduce fatalities. One of the things that is currently occurring on the funding at the national level is Congress is considering the next extension of the surface transportation bill, and they look at three different areas. So highways is one element, safety is another element. The And then they look also at, it slips my mind, but what was the third element? So you got highways, safety, and transit. I'm sorry. How could I forget transit? I am focused on highways, I admit it, but we are trying to do our part to make those connections to transit and safety I've already been discussing. But the idea is that Congress has to really tackle this issue this year. Currently, the current highway bill or transportation bill expires at the end of this month. And to continue it through the end of the federal fiscal year, September 30th coming up, they have to add some additional revenue to the highway trust fund at the national level. So the good news is that the U.S. Senate committee that's focused on the transportation bill that focuses on highways, that element, has looked at the framework for a six-year bill. So a long-term bill has great meat on the bones for that. They have to identify the funding, though, and that's a different committee in the U.S. Senate that has to identify where the money comes from. So the committee that establishes the policy and the length, the duration of the bill, has done a lot of great work to put that forward. On the House of Representatives side, they have to do the same, and then the two get together and reconcile the two bills. But we're pleased that it's a long-term bill, because having that six-year or a five-year bill passed by Congress gives us that assurance so that we can get on with some of the larger projects and really be assured that we're going to receive the federal funding that we need for those projects. So they are working tirelessly. This Stand Up for Transportation was something that we coordinated with the RTCs across the state, with the Association of Counties, to bring some focus to it. And a lot of chambers of commerce are going to testify before Congress about the need for transportation and the linkage to economic development. So not just job creation, but just commerce in general and freight movement. All of that is helped by a well-funded transportation program. Here you can see that the numbers have been substantial for the Carson area MPO. For fiscal year 16, about $8.3 million, and then 17 through 19, cumulatively, about $30 million. And a lot of the details are provided in the packet. That if you look at some of the projects, there's some significant ones. And I wanted to kind of express my appreciation to our team that was able to get the Carson Freeway, the next stage from Fairview down to the intersection with 395 out the door. And Mayor, you were there at the groundbreaking recently. And it's a great project. We didn't have enough money to do the interchange at 395 and US 50, but I think it's going to really help when it's completed in a couple of years to alleviate the truck traffic that's been using Fairview at the end of the freeway currently. So it will improve safety and allow us to overlay US 395 from Fairview down to where the freeway connects, because it's getting in a pretty serious condition. Too. Yes.
Brad, want to add yours?
Absolutely.
It's a big deal for us at Carson City, so, and thanks to your team.
Thank you. And there's
nothing wrong with finishing ahead of time either.
That's right. I don't think there's an dollar incentive to our contractor, road and highway builders, but I'm sure they want to get on to other work and other opportunities, so they'll do their best. But you see the list of projects there, some of the more significant ones, State Route 529, South Carson Street that I mentioned, the overlay. And I have had discussions with the staff here in Carson City about, maybe the city wants to change the look of that street. You've had the discussions before the board about the downtown area and whether that continues south. I think that we have some time to affect the overlay project, but for now that's what it's scheduled for in 2016. You can see the other projects, and I wanted to mention the traffic incident management there, and is more or less trying to clear off the road when there's an incident, a crash, disabled vehicles on the road. It affects traffic for a longer time than it takes just to clear the road and get those those vehicles removed. It affects traffic behind there for several more minutes. So that's one strategy we're using to try to clear the roads more quickly and get traffic flowing more smoothly, because it's not just the commuters, it's people that are affected for economic development and freight movement as well.
Pardon me, Rudy? Just to make sure you get credit for something else that I don't think it made it on this list, is that there's another significant project that NDOT is undertaking to improve the freeway in the northern part of Carson City and through Washoe Valley. That's, yes. I think it's about to go out to bid.
Yes, it'll go out to bid later this summer. And one of the things that, if you get on at East Lake, you know that southbound on-ramp, has a very short merge distance. And we're going to add in some additional room for cars to have an easier merge there, so more or less like an acceleration lane. So that'll be very beneficial for safety, allow for easier access to the freeway rather than that quick merge right now. And that will overlay the I-580, US 395 in the divided highway section of Washoe Valley there. Thanks, Patrick. Moving ahead, one of the things that we are trying to promote that Campo and other MPOs and cities, counties to use is the project initiation form. It's available online at that web address, that link. But that form will at least start establishing what you would like to see as a project, gets it on our radar screen. I understand that at the planning level, it's very tough to do those types of good estimates of the project costs, but at least it walks you through what things to consider. Do you need additional right-of-way? Do you need environmental clearances? Is it all within the existing right-of-way? And start doing a pretty good guess. Now, you have a lot more staff available to you, to Campo than other rural communities that don't have a lot of public work staff to do some of those planning or estimating efforts. So we're willing to help out where we can and often use some of our scoping services to get good estimates on projects. There's also the link to the Transportation Alternatives Program, the TAP program. A lot of the safe routes to school and some of those sidewalk improvements, trails, are funded through that program. One of the things worth noting is in the next, the transportation bill on the Senate version that they're considering would give all of that TAP funding to local communities. So the state currently has a bit that's given to NDOT to distribute and use, and 100% of that is proposed in the Senate bill to go to locals such as Campo and other rural communities to access. I really have to give thanks to Bob Madable on the road relinquishment program. That was vetted through a public process. We worked with all the counties across the state of Nevada to develop that process. And it's as I've mentioned in years past, that it is a fair process. We're not going to be unilateral on road relinquishments. We know that a lot of communities don't have the wherewithal to take over new roads and maintain them when they're struggling to maintain their existing systems locally. So it was a fair process. In some cases, we'll bring up a road, pave it, and then negotiate the relinquishment of a road. A transfer of roads is another option that we will trade. We're looking into some things in the southern Nevada area with taking over more of a limited access facilities that have interchanges versus the local streets have a lot of different needs that NDOT can sometimes get in the way with our standards on spacing of driveways and things like that that can affect developers' plans for development. So we look at those types of opportunities of road transfers too under that program. But Bob Madewell was very effective at reaching out to everybody across the state to get a fair process and get that adopted. With that, I'm willing to take any other specific questions about the work program that's been presented to you, and we request respectfully your acceptance of the fiscal year 16 work program for Carson County, and I'm willing to respond to any questions that the board may have.
Any questions for
one question, since I have the big boss here, is I've heard
talk, I sit on TTD, but the lake too, that MPO's size requirements might change for population. Sitting in your position, have you heard anything that might make that not true, that they're going to...
Rudy Malfman in response, we've heard that, we talked to Carl Hasty, and he's working to get that language into the bill. I think that he's getting, he's working with Senator Heller's office to accomplish that, and I think that it's looking favorable. Obviously, they have to work with the California side, too, and but I think that it's, from what he's mentioned to me personally, that it's looking favorable to have that change, which would provide some, at least additional funding to the area around Lake Tahoe, because it's viewed as being a large population center around this body of water that but everybody's kind of interconnected. So Carl's been very diligent in trying to pursue that language getting added into the federal bill. I don't have an update on that where we're at now, but it's just watch and see and kind of support that effort that TTD is doing, so that we see a benefit on the Nevada side for some of the projects that TTD is trying to advance in Tahoe MPO.
Well, the other side of that was the fact that they're talking that the population of the MPOs, instead of being 50,000, might go to 200,000, and a lot of the small MPOs, I have been told, might disappear in new funding. Have you heard that?
No, I'd have to. I don't know if Paul Schneider has heard about that, but he's nodding his head. So it's possible, but I think that a lot of the smaller MPOs would definitely lobby against that move. I think that we've enjoyed the structure that we've had with the 50,000 and the additional funds that are available for the smaller communities, 5,000. There's various programs under the surface transportation program that we've enjoyed. The 5,000 to 200,000 is a small amount of money, but it's nice to have that federal funding available. We distribute a lot of that money across the state because a lot of the rural communities, that's one of their only chances to get federal funds other than us coming in and doing a project on the interstate through their counties. But it's something that we'll have to watch and weigh in on. We typically give some, we look out for everybody's interests, but particularly the department's interests in that. In some cases, such as the TAP program going to more to locals instead of a portion going to the state, we're fine with that because it's like I said, it's an opportunity for smaller communities to get funding when there's not a lot of federal funds to go around. So we definitely have good news on preservation of our system that reported in the urban areas, we're number two in the nation behind Florida, but we still have a lot of needs in the rural parts, just as the counties have seen a lot of roads kind of needing attention, repaving, so any federal funds that we do receive are helpful.
I got a quick question. You know, in the beginning of the slides, you talked about decrease in a lot of the lane departures, but the increase in pedestrian. Mm-hmm. And then looking at some of the other slides where on the crash densities, are those strictly vehicle crashes that ended up in fatalities, or does that also include pedestrian fatalities?
That's both. So all those are incidents where there was a crash. So some of those crashes might have had a fatality, and some might just be property damage, or it might have involved a pedestrian. So, but we have a way... Because of the coding that's done by law enforcement on the crash data and the entry into the system, we have a way of extrapolating what was related to pedestrians, have a map built just around pedestrian issues. So we have that ability and have the benefit of having a lot of information entered into the system by the law enforcement. So,
But in these slides, is it strictly just vehicle? Fatalities?
I think that would be both, right?
It is both?
Yes.
I mean, you know, we're trying to get more granularity as we look at more of this crash density. And so we're actually looking to divide out pedestrians. You know, animal accidents out in the rurals are a big issue. And so, you know, we want to separate that out.
Can we
And Commissioner Smolinski, I think, I don't know if you're thinking about this one, we did have a pedestrian fatality on Stewart Street last year, but I believe that was in November. So I think it was just after the cutoff for this time period.
And I think that's where I was going, you know, based on what I do. I'm looking at some of these, the crosses, and I'm aware of some other ones, and that's why I was asking if it was strictly vehicle fatality from a crash or if it was a pedestrian.
So it's both, but the timing might miss some of the more recent ones from the last year.
If I could just add something, the fatality data, sometimes it takes a year or two to make it to that list because there's investigations that go on, and we do have another fatality list that was included in your report that gives you a more accurate year-over-year number. Because we know that those that happened in the last year or two won't actually make it on the map for a little while.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, further questions?
All right, then can I get a motion, please?
Let me see here. I move to accept the Nevada Department of Transportation fiscal year 2016 work program short-range element and long-range element for the Campo area.
All right, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the report. Is there anybody from the public that came to address this issue? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. We're going to move on to item F2. This is information on the proposed Campo federal fiscal years 2016 through 2019 Transportation Improvement Program. Staff summary. Staff has drafted a proposed TIP for fiscal years 2016 through 2019.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, like you said, this is information only. As we do every year, we have a 30-day comment period before we update our Transportation Improvement Program, which will take effect October 1 of 2015. And a lot of the projects that you see on the draft table, a lot of them are ones that were shown in the previous, the existing TIP, because they're out years and a few of them have been moved forward. Don't have a lot of new ones. We did coordinate with all our member agencies as well as NDOT and a few others that toward the bottom, like you see the VNT project there and the Railroad Museum, they've had a project on the books a couple years. And so we initiated a 30-day comment period beginning June 28th. And a week from today, in this building, in the Bonanza Room, we'll be having a public information meeting for any members of the public that do have questions about the proposed program. They can meet with staff directly. We're going to be here from 4 to 6 p.m. Once the public comment period closes, we'll be bringing this back for an action to be approved and then forwarded on to NDOT and the Federal Highway Administration. And just wanted to give a heads up, the format of the document will probably look a little different this time around from what you're used to seeing. The states, NDOT's been working really hard to develop what they're calling an ESTIP, which is going to really streamline the process of these new TIP updates plus any amendments and modifications. And so some of the reports that come out of this will be kind of replacing this typical spreadsheet we've had. And we think it's a little more readable and user-friendly, and we'll be putting those into our new document. So. Be happy to entertain any questions. Thanks.
All right. Are there any questions for staff? Okay. This is an information item only, so no actions can be taken, but I will offer it up to the public if anybody came to address this issue. Seeing none, we'll move on. Item F3 for possible action. To determine the selection of Carson City's RTC's Federal Transit Administration, FTA, 5339 application to be submitted for funding in the Campo planning area. Staff summary. Campo has received one application requesting FTA 5339 funding. Campo will determine whether the application will be selected for funding and the amount of funds to be awarded out of the total available.
Thank you. I'd like to note that Vice Chair Erb actually did send me a message saying that he wouldn't be able to attend because of the inclement weather that they're dealing with. So just want to make sure that he gets credit for doing so. We've dealt with this Federal Transit Administration 5339 section previously at both the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization meeting and the Carson City RTC meeting. This is a funding source that comes to CAMPO usually once a year, and CAMPO has the ability to solicit projects. This year was different in that we only have a partial year funding due to federal funding issues, but we did proceed with almost $69,000. One application was received by CAMPO from the Carson City RTC, applying for the funds to be used to match CDBG funds to build sidewalk projects in low income and in areas on bus routes. With that, I'll take any questions or request action.
Any questions for staff? Seeing none, can I get a motion on this item?
I move to determine the selection of Carson City RTC's Federal Transit Administration FTA 5339 application to be submitted for funding in the CAMPO planning area.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there anybody from the public that came to address this issue today? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. All right. Item G is internal communications and administrative matters. These are non-action items. G1, future agenda items.
The only one we have for sure now is the approval of the Transportation Improvement Program, which we just had an informational item about.
H, board comments, status reports and comments from the members of the CAMPO board. So I'll start on my right. Okay, easy enough. Which takes us down to item I, which is public comment again. So anybody from the public would like to address the board? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to item J for possible action adjournment. Do I have a motion?
Ooh.
All right, then we are adjourned, and the RTC meeting will start in 5 minutes. Thank you.
I call to order the meeting of the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission. Today is Wednesday, July 8th, 2015. We are in the Sierra Room at 851 East Williams Street. Tamar, can we have a roll call, please?
Chairperson Bunkowski.
Here.
Vice Chair Smolenski.
Here.
Commissioner Kroll.
Here.
Commissioner Kimbrough.
Here.
Commissioner McQuarrie.
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you. Next item on our agenda is for public comment for any item on the agenda or any item not on the agenda. And seeing as we have no public here, we will move on to item C, approval of the minutes. Has everybody had a chance to look at the minutes?
Yes.
Any changes? Seeing none, I'll entertain a moment, motion for approval.
Move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Passes unanimously. Moving on to the agenda management notice. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. We may combine two or more agenda items for consideration, or we may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion related to an item on the agenda at any time. Does anybody have any changes to the agenda? Seeing none, we will approve the agenda as presented. Moving on to item E, disclosures. Does any member of the commission wish to explain any contact with the public regarding an item on the agenda or business of the commission? Seeing none, we will move on to item F, public meeting items. Item F1, for possible action to make recommendations to the Carson City Board of Supervisors regarding the 30% design of the downtown streetscape project and to direct staff to continue to move forward with design. Gentlemen.
Evening, Chair and Commissioners. Dan, Your Honor, Public Works Engineering Manager and the Project Manager for the Carson Street Downtown Project. I'm going to go through a couple of little stats from the results that you have in your packet, and then we'll go through kind of the corridor here, and then we'll quickly show the video and open it up for questions. We had a public workshop for the 30% design on June 22nd. Two sessions, 12:30 to 5:30, where we presented the items, and 5:30 to 7:30. And then Mike and I actually stuck around all in between to see if anybody would mosey in and ask questions. We had a couple people pop in and take advantage of that. We had about 100 people between the two sessions, so it was up from our theming workshop that we did in April. And we felt like it was a pretty good turnout. Over 60% of the attendees were either lived in Carson City for 20 or more years or but was born here. And about 70% were over 50 years old. An intriguing stat that a lot of people kind of glossed over when we were there is that a third of the people hadn't been to a workshop before. They had just heard about it on the news in the newspaper, or the KOLO 8 ran a piece, and so they decided to show up. So we'll go through the corridor here. This is starting with north to the right, 5th Street there on the left. You can see the 3rd Street Plaza. The strip down the middle was a little bit of a accent piece because you're taking away the left turns onto 3rd, and so a little bit of a kind of a unique piece there. This section we kind of deemed the park district, with a lot of lush greenery already there, and enhancing the pedestrian space in this area. You'll see in front of the AG's office a couple little areas that might be public art spaces or gathering space, but kind of just forming out what each use is going to be in that area. Getting from Musser going to the north along to Robinson, we kind of deemed the district, and it's not that we're going to put up a big sign that says this, but just kind of categorizing each area having its own unique features. This is the part that also starts the improvements planned in the future along Curry. And so this is the area with the most pedestrian intense types of businesses and facilities. So coming along here, we dropped in the proposed Capitol Mall parking garage just to kind of show how it would fit, just mainly focusing along the Carson Street, a little bit of parking in front of that. Kind of going north of Robinson, we deemed this kind of the transition area. There's a lot more businesses with driveways that are more car-friendly access, but there's opportunities for redevelopment so that if somebody did decide to come in and, let's say, abandon Sophia Street and build a Penguin, they could do that and enhance that area at some time in the future. Again, coming up here to William on the north, the end of the project and the end of the transition area. Here's just a little blow-up on 3rd Street. I think on Monday, the Redevelopment Authority Citizen Committee was a little more interested in this. They're funding it quite a bit and showing the water feature and the proposed stage. Still working out some of the details, but this is one of the areas where we feel a stamped concrete, like a boardwalk, would be applicable in keeping it in the historic feel at St. Charles Hotel. Here's a couple of views that we're going to get right to the video, so we won't flip through them real quick, but just some of the corners. Looking to the south along Proctor there. This is a look at Curry in keeping with the one-way, parallel on one side and angled with the other. Here's Telegraph Square, and one thing to note, the planters are staying. These just are rendered ones. We're not trying to recreate the wheel there. Here's a little bit of 3rd Street looking towards the west from Carson Street, kind of the accent on each side. The idea is kind of keeping that view and that corridor across to the greenery to the east. Here's a look from the east going west, kind of that view towards the west looking east with the stage kind of there. Not the final stage. Just a 30% concept, still working through final details, electrical, lighting, all that sort of stuff.
Video?
So with that, we'll just go to the video and roll through that. If you haven't already seen it, it's on a link to it's on the Carson Proud Facebook page or carsonproud.com. Heading north from 5th. A lot of people asked about Jack's Bar there on the left when we were having a couple conversations out in the hallway here. It's a, when you look at it, it's kind of one of the first spots that people draw to and say, what are we going to do here? And so we kind of, there was a broad discussion, a lot of Jed Block's input in the historical side of it. Interesting conversations. We had some good guitar music, so we don't have that here, but
I can turn it up if you want.
Here's a little bit of a look at the Third Street concepts and the layout. All at one level so that you're not going, right now you'd go curb, street, curb, trying to make it flow there and have all the ADA access work. Can you drive a little faster? No.
Go for it.
So, Mike Bennett, Loomis & Associates, just to add some detail to the conversation, the little parklets that you see, parallel parking areas on the left and on the right, there we intentionally made those two spots at each location so we didn't have a situation or we could limit the situation, the times where somebody pulls in, has to back into a spot on Main Street to minimize congestion. The little bull belts that you see coming up here in front of the video, that's an opportunity for public art, just a space for just public gathering space or an art piece to be situated there. Again, you'll see that colored asphalt in the center. Again, that's just, that was the area where the median is today. Break up some of that long stretch of black asphalt. Bus turnouts, either side, City Hall on the right. We just passed Secretary of State's office on the left.
Patrick's going to get a really big bus for the future, yeah. So. Here's a little look at the corner. The concept is instead of having two directional ramps at each corner and a little bump up in between, that we would kind of bring that all down at one level to make it more pedestrian and wheelchair friendly to continue directionally down the corridor.
From the concept that was originally approved by the board, you'll see obviously we've got the bike lanes each direction, 5-foot bike lanes, 10-foot travel lanes each way with a 10-foot center turn continuous all the way through. Again, parking either side, just kind of scattered around the project where it made sense, both from a necessity or a need, makes sense for whether pedestrian areas needed there or not, or if there's room because of sites aren't triangles or driveways. This is on the right here, this is the one location we have more than two spaces in a row.
Kind of running out of commentary here, but this is kind of the end of, in this transition area, you can see where there's a lot of driveways, not capable to be putting parking spaces next to driveways, site distance, that sort of stuff. So that's why when you see this area, there's a little bit more of an opportunity for redevelopment down the road if things change up.
And the last little piece here, as we get up close to Williams, you'll see that on the northbound lanes, we widen out to two lanes to allow additional stacking for the right turn onto 50, as well as just the transition into the existing, will remain existing two lanes northbound.
So with that, we'll answer any questions or any other topics.
Are there any questions from the commissioners? Mark?
I have a few. Actually, I thought you need to get a champion for Jack's Bar, who likes to drink a lot, from the legislature to make it historic, put it on the historic register so then you can protect it. And just make sure that you're out of there before an earthquake is all I would guess.
Yeah. We actually had an extensive conversation with Jed Block, and I believe it's in the historic district, and it is protected. They had an idea at one point how to retrofit the inside to make it seismically sound but keep the skin of it.
Yeah, that makes some interesting discussions. Aren't you glad you didn't start over at the Ornsby House? You would have a lot more questions then. You start on the wrong side.
Yeah.
But, Mike, I have some real questions, too, actually. On the parking situations, are the door swings clear of the bike lane? Looks like they are.
The parallel parking is 8 feet wide. So depending on where the car ends up next to the curb. But, yes, the door will swing a little bit into the bike lane.
Into the lane.
Yeah,
so
slightly.
Just slightly.
Yeah.
So just that helps at least people become aware of that, because that's a big, big scare for bicyclists to think that they have to worry about every car down the road like that. Well, the more you can do to protect that, that'd be great. Are the crosswalks going to be raised a little bit, or some element of makes them a little safer by how they're designed? Or are they just going to be white striped? And
a couple of the areas we're looking at for accenting those with stamp concrete or pavers or something, taking into consideration plowing.
Right, I know that's always a concern. They don't tear them up.
But yeah, yeah. And we've talked a little bit about the Third Street Plaza maybe being sort of a large speed ramp almost. Talked about the pros and cons of that, and we still haven't worked through those details. But there are a couple of locations that we'd like to accent and be a little bit different to stand out.
One of the things I really appreciated the fact that good money was spent on the planning, because you really see the picture here. This is an excellent presentation. I thought your program was well run, too, with the public. I thought that was great. And everybody had a chance to have a voice there. One of the things I wondered about is the signage that's on the road along there. Are the people going to have to start changing some of their signs to fit the theme a little bit as this progresses, or has that even been thought of or discussed yet?
You're talking about building signs? Or?
Yeah, building, any other signs. Or outdoor signs. You know, now the new days is the flashing light signs and things that wouldn't fit in the theme. So I didn't know if you've gone to the planning side of this to help stay to this theme that a lot of money is going to be spent on to protect that image a little bit.
I know Lee Plimmel, Community Development Director, has been sort of thinking of that next step of when people want to put a new sign or a new sandwich board, there we go, or outdoor seating or what have you, that there be some implementation of a policy or procedure. So I don't think we're there quite yet, but I know we've been talking with Lee about it and bringing something forward.
And another thing I saw a little bit, there's a lot of opportunity. It seems like mid-block snipers, I call them, people walking across the street, but the traffic is a lot safer to do that in. So that might have more of an opportunity to do that. There's nothing that barriers them in some areas, like the fencing is, it's there now so you can't cross the street. So how are you working around that a little bit?
One of the things we kind of got some input on is pedestrian barriers. And you'll see in there a lot of people didn't like the picture of the old fence in there. But we had the overwhelming response was the above-ground planters being the preference. And you'll see a lot of them, like if you see on this picture at Proctor, of a raised planter to at least get them to the crosswalk. There's still an opportunity to jump out in between there if they do, but at least there's somewhat of a barrier so that they're not crossing 3 feet in front of the sidewalk or in front of the crosswalk. They're at least getting to the intersection. So that's kind of the visual concept to corral them that way.
That picture doesn't even have a crosswalk at the turn, so we put them down 2 blocks from there, maybe, huh?
This one would be the better. That one doesn't show it as well.
Well,
it
shows
it. Yeah.
With the camera's basically sitting on top of the crosswalk, so that one line you see isn't the stop bar, it's the back side of the crosswalk. But you're correct, we don't have one at both sides of the intersection. We only include, on this location, we only include, because it's not a signal-controlled intersection.
So that might be a bugaboo, I guess, huh, for people to walk across the street to cross the street, but not much you can do to design that out of the without putting 2 crosswalks in both intersections. So.
Yeah, yeah. I think one of the things to keep the traffic moving is limiting those access points. And just we'll have to maybe think about it on this corner to continue that plan or a little bit further down or something like that.
Well, thanks. This is really exciting, actually. I think it's great. Thank you.
Other commissioner questions? Bob?
Danny, what are we doing talking to the businesses, you know, and getting them ready for potential business interruption, and what's the plan on that? And
yeah, so we've Mike and I actually before the 30% design about a week before, we walked the whole entire block talking to different property owners or business owners that were available, giving them the flyer, telling them when we'd be circling back to talk specifically about the impacts. We've got Q&D thinking about construction phasing as a CMAR to work through how we would build it to have the least impact possible. It's still going to be construction, but also at the end of the month, Mike and I are scheduling about a three full day period to kind of capture block by block and invite those property and business owners in and to start documenting those, you know, let's say Garibaldi's, when their peak times are to really not impact their lunch and dinner and not be swapping over their water right during that period, which is a pretty easy concept, but at least getting a lot of documentation on that. So we've kind of reached out to them already, but we're going to circle back and try and really get a lot of them in. And then also one of the things we've been talking about a little bit is throughout construction, how to best get the word out that these businesses are open during construction. And the one thing I'll point out that Q&D has done pretty good, they were currently up in Kings Beach and doing that whole section. And when they told us, and it was one of their interview questions of how they've handled this before, when they first walked in there, they had business owners that said, you're gonna put me out of business and I'm gonna have to walk away from this endeavor. By the end of it, they actually had a dinner for them to show how well they work together. So they've got some good ideas that we're kind of working through, whether it's a hotline that goes right to the superintendent's phone or something like that. We're kind of kicking around some of the different options that have been used elsewhere.
Jim?
One quick question is, we were going through the drive-by here. I noticed that is the crosswalk at the Nugget and Cactus Jacks coming back in after we just closed it?
Yes, we are. One of the reasons that we took it out before is that we knew we were coming in with the wider sidewalks and the shorter section there, a little bit better visibility. We've talked about maybe some beacons, flashing beacons there. Maybe you want to touch on that?
I was involved with that, and I just want to share that, indeed, it was certainly a safety concern. We had someone, you know, appear before the RTC a couple of times last year that, you know, prompted us to look at that further. But we did so always with the plan that it coming back, and we did look previously at some options for beacons, but we don't expect that the beacons will be necessary with all the inherent safety improvements that are coming with a plan like this. Regarding traffic volumes, traffic speeds, the fact that you're only crossing one lane of traffic in each direction. The two lanes in the same direction were the reason for that serious incident that were there previously.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, Rob?
Yeah, just the Third Street area that's going to be closed, that's all going to be concrete now or pavers. Is that right?
Yes, a combination of the two.
Is that going to be multi-use area for different events, or just what's the intention of that area, I guess?
A lot of the requests are the farmers market concert type events, but we're also looking at it from an aspect that it's an area that you could take your kids, sit on a bench and watch them and let them play in the splash pad or water feature, or have a Girl Scout cookie selling thing on the stage or something like that. So it's kind of a multi-purpose area, and looking at where concrete makes sense, where pavers make sense in relation to the different kind of uses of that space.
With that said, would there be a place for some greenery in there or some lawn to sit on, or is it all going to be concrete, or is it just too small of an area maybe?
I think the greenery will mostly be planters tree wells. There is a kind of a planter lining out the seating on the Firkin and Fox side versus the main plaza side. But I don't think that a big grassy area is feasible, depending because of the uses that are going to be there.
A couple of questions. On the transition areas between the parking areas and then back to curb and street, as well as where the ADA, what I would call bulb outs, are on the intersections and the what I call the braille pads, are you looking at that as well for snow plow issues to minimize damage?
Yeah, we haven't met specifically with the plow crews and their thoughts. They've seen our plans, and we're going to work with them to make sure that all works. One of the topics on the parking pop-outs, if you will, is that making sure that they can drop snow there in the middle of a snowstorm, keep going, and then come back and load it up and take it away. So we're going to work through some of that with them.
Then the trees that are shown on 3rd Street on the north side, are those anticipated to be the existing trees that are there, or are those trees going to be removed and replaced with new trees?
There's a couple of trees. I'm going to flip to the next slide, actually. There's a couple of trees over near the stage that are existing. They do not work where they are today. So our goal is to try to save those and relocate them. Other than that, the trees that are existing on the north side of the plaza, they're in those big planter boxes. They've grown in a manner that they're kind of twisted and gnarled because they're trying to stay away from those overhangs. So they're just not worth saving, at least at this point.
So they'll be replaced.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, again, on 3rd Street, we had previous conversations about the crosswalk on Carson Street, so I think it's the previous slide, to raise that and realign it for safety reasons because of the amount of children that may be in that plaza because of the splash pad. Has that changed, or is that still the concept?
We have definitely talked about realigning it to be more kind of that one main view through there. We left it at grade for now for preliminary grading purposes, but we've talked about if you do leave it at grade, working through drainage and a couple of those things in the plows. So we kind of left it down for now with the thought of let's make sure to explore it and see what the impacts of that would be. So we haven't touched on it completely, but we've thought about it at this point.
And the previous concerns and conversations that have been out there have been children running across the street either to get to the splash pad or running back out of the plaza to the east from the splash pad. So that's where the conversation is about maybe raising it or having beacons or some additional safety measures. You know, I don't think people are so concerned about adult pedestrians, but it's because we're bringing children to this area, this location. We want to make sure that we take that into consideration since they're not always controllable. Are there any additional questions from the commissioners? Mark?
Actually, sometimes they put safety islands out there, so they're only going one lane at a time sometimes, like they did over at the high school, but nothing as ugly as the high school one with. Looks like it's a prison designed one over there, but so sometimes that can be a solution. A lot of times in three lane roads in snow country, they plow the snow to the middle so they don't bury the shops and the sidewalks and stuff. So hopefully it might be a challenge for the plows to flip their plows around. I don't know if they have that ability sometimes, and then how they clear the corners out, but sometimes that's better than they can load it up and haul it away versus shove it up on the businesses and in the sidewalks. So hopefully that's part of it.
It'll definitely be taken into when they come up with their plan, and they're pretty good at knowing what they can and can't do, so we're going to work with them.
Additional questions? Rob?
Coming off of William Street, making a left-hand turn onto Carson Street for truck traffic, are they going to be able to navigate that turn the way that's narrowed down to one lane with the left turn pocket there? I don't know if you can look at the slide or not. It just looked like it was going to be a tight
So you mean westbound traffic on William turning southbound on the Carson?
Yes.
Yeah, honestly, I do not believe that movement will change really from today. The center turn lane, the center turn lane does not really shift from where it is today. And the trucks, my understanding is they're turning into the fast lane and not turning into the slow lane. Would you say the same thing? So it wouldn't be any different than it is today.
Okay. Any additional questions? Seeing none, I will bring it back to the commission for discussion or entertainment of a motion. Go ahead.
I move to make recommendations to the Carson City Board of Supervisors regarding the 30% design of the downtown streetscape project and to direct staff to continue to move forward with design.
Do you want to include some language in your motion to address the comments that were made here by the commission today, included in those recommendations?
Sure, with the minutes from the comments made from today's meeting.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Yes. Mr. D.A.? Oh, Mr. Puff. Okay. Is there any public comment on this? There is one member of the public out there. Would he like to comment on this? Seeing none.
Since I'm called to the podium, Jim Shirk. I do have a question on the fence by the legislature and the governor's office. Will that stay up as it is?
Yeah, you're speaking of the fence in front of the Capitol?
Correct.
Yes, we're not touching that.
I'm sorry?
We're not going to disturb that. That remains as
is. So that will stay, but you will have sidewalks there in front of that area for cars parking?
At this point, not a continuous sidewalk. There'll be sidewalk to get them to other sidewalks, if that makes sense, to connect.
To cross the street.
Exactly, but there's not a continuous sidewalk along that block.
Okay, and I asked earlier, at the earlier meeting, are we going to use the lights that are in downtown? Are they going to be used in the new corridor?
Yes.
They are?
Yes.
In front of Frickin' Frocks, where the wood sidewalk is that going to remain?
No. Okay.
No, one of the things we've talked with the property owner, well, a couple things. At this time, we're planning for stamped concrete that looks like a boardwalk. We've talked with the property owner, and they're for it with the not having warped boards kicking up for tripping purposes or whatever, while still maintaining a historic aspect. One of the things we have to then coordinate that with, because we have federal dollars involved on the stormwater system of all things, creates a SHPO review and coordination. So that will be one thing that we're going to coordinate there with the property owners and SHPO and probably HRC, okay. Historic Resource Commission as well.
On snow removal, you will not be able to put snow in the middle of the street, though, right? Because of the access for emergency vehicles in that lane? So you will not be able to store the snow there, correct?
That's a good point. And I think that's why I kind of mentioned we're going to just get with those plow guys to make sure they have the right plans. And the pocket parking is my thought as to where that would go. But we haven't determined that. They're okay. Going to have to make sure everybody works.
On the parking that you do have in front of businesses can, or I talked at the earlier meeting, where the parking is, let's say it's in front of Garibaldi's, there's a parking spot there. I don't know if there is or not, but can they access that and put a false sidewalk there where they could expand the business out and have seating there? Or if parking is parking and it can never be used for any access other than parking?
Currently, we have an encroachment permit that takes care of fences and signs and permanent facilities. We don't really have a temporary occupancy like that. And so it's another thing that we've talked with community development of setting some standards and bringing that forward as a policy so that we have a consistent way to apply that, how you apply for it, who pays for what the duration is, that sort of thing.
Okay, so possibly businesses will be able to use that for future seating area if they wish.
Correct. I think that's one of the flexibility options with it.
Okay, and you're not bringing back the fence that used to be in downtown, are you, in any aspect or anywhere?
I really like to keep my job, so I'm not going to do that.
Okay, thank you.
I'll let Patrick decide if he wants to do it.
Good luck.
I like my
Thank
job
you, sir.
Too.
Any additional public comment? Seeing none, we have a motion and a second on the table. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Passes unanimously. We'll move on to item F2, information regarding the fiscal year 2015-2016 Regional Transportation Commission Work Program. Patrick?
Thank you. I'm going to try to move this along and talk a little fast, but there is some important information to get out there because we do have some significant roadway construction projects coming up, including some that are going to be awarded in the hopeful. It is intended they will be awarded in the next agenda items. We have been watching our budgets very carefully, of course, both the RTC and streets budgets that can be used to make roadway improvements. We have been continuing to work with the University of Nevada Reno pavement management folks, which we have contracted with. While they have not completed their work, they are they did have some preliminary findings for us. So just a brief summary of what we're doing going forward. The next item on the agenda is the proposed award of a contract to rebuild Little Lane completely, full depth, for five blocks between Solomon Road and Janus Way. That's from Solomon to the last road before you get to Roof Street and the post office. Certainly a very significant project for a street that does see some traffic and is a collector and is in quite poor condition. We also have been doing continuing our slurry seal program. We started last fall. We did some more work a month or two ago, and we actually have some money left on the contract. We want to make sure we make use of. So we do have a list here of other locations that are going to be getting surface treatments. Darla Way, some of the corporate yard. Arthur Drive is actually going to be this weekend. We're doing that early because that's the alternative route for the Clear Creek Avenue sewer project. A portion of Center Drive, a portion of Roland Street as well. These are a lot of Anderson Street. These are a lot of roads that we've actually received multiple complaints on from citizens. We want to be responsive to our citizens while using our gas tax revenues. And also a portion of Roop Street. I'll note that that is a relatively new road. Based on the research that's been done by the University of Nevada Reno staff, specifically in Northern Nevada, they have looked at when is it effective to do surface seals to actually extend the life of the road. And they have determined that this is right about the right time for the first treatment to actually make a real difference in the life of Roop Street. So while we do realize it's a newer road, we are doing that intentionally. I'd also like to make sure people know that we are moving forward with a Division Street roadway reconstruction between King Street and Fifth Street. We expect to bring that back before you at the September meeting for award and reconstruction this fall. It comes with sidewalk and Americans with Disabilities Act improvements as well. We're actually combining some transit money into that to make sure that we get those improvements. And we are very eager to do this project and to do so this fall before we start the downtown corridor project, because we do realize that Division Street is an alternative route during construction for the downtown project. And the final one on the list here is that we do believe we will have additional funds coming into spring for another project, and we are looking at doing airport roads just south of U.S. Highway 50 in the eastern portion of Carson City, but we are going to have to monitor our budgets as the money comes in to confirm that we'll be able to complete that project. I also noted in the board forum here that we have an expected estimated amount of approximately $300,000 that the Board of Supervisors acted to provide some sales tax above the budgeted amount. That we won't know until likely the end of August, early September, and then we will be back before you to discuss that as well. And this is just an update. Things are certainly fluid. Some things come and go, and the one mention I need to have of something that is a very recent development is that we just received a formal announcement from Central Federal Lands in Colorado that the Carson City application for a FLAP grant, Federal Lands Access Program grant, was successful and it was selected for funding. And as you might recall, we brought that before you before submitting. It's approximately $2 million of federal funds at a 95-5 match, 5% local match. That will allow for the reconstruction of Sierra Vista Lane, the city-owned portion, from Carson River Road going south. We are extremely happy about that. The next step is to enter agreement for a short-term scoping process before moving on into construction. We don't think that's going to happen this calendar year, but we are very pleased that we have been selected for funding. With that, I will take any questions or move on.
Any questions from the commissioners? Any public comment? Seeing none, this is an information-only item, so we will move on to item F3 for possible action to determine that A&K Earth Movers, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1415-183 Little Lane Street Improvement Project for a bid amount of $234,000 plus a contingency amount of $23,400 for a total not to exceed price of $257,400 to be funded from the Streets Maintenance Fund Street Repair Account as provided in fiscal year 2015-2016 budget. Patrick?
Thank you. I just discussed this project, so I won't go into any great detail. I'll only note that there were four bidders. The successful bid, the low bid, is below the engineer's estimate. It's only above the estimate with the contingency. And just note that we're very pleased to do this, and this is actually something we haven't done in a while, which is actually to rebuild a road with streets funds.
Do we have any questions from the commissioners? Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to determine that A&K Earth Movers, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1415-183 Little Lane Street Improvement Project for a bid amount of $234,000 plus a contingency amount of $23,400 for a total not to exceed price of $257,400 to be funded from the Street Maintenance Fund Street Repair Account as provided in fiscal year 2015-16 budget.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. Moving on to item F4. For possible action to determine that A&K Earth Movers, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1415-136 East Williams Street Shared Use Path Project for a bid amount of $218,445 plus a contingency amount of $21,845 for a total not to exceed price of $240,290 to be funded from the Regional Transportation Fund Capital Projects Construction Account as provided in fiscal year 2014-2015 budget. Patrick?
Thank you. I'm always pleased to bring one of these before you because it was about 2 years ago that we were awarded this grant, and our staff has been working diligently ever since to get to this point. We did have two bids. I will note that as it is noted in, underneath the two bids, the low bid was actually deemed non-responsive for the disadvantaged business enterprise requirements. We are not awarding to, even though they're relatively close, we're not awarding to the low bidder, and we are doing so after a review with Nevada Department of Transportation staff, as this is primarily federally funded. The one unfortunate thing that has occurred with this project, and we're happy to proceed with it, but the prices have changed since we first envisioned this project, and we were forced with a decision to be made because the cost associated with this project now exceeds that which was included in the grant and the agreement that we have with the Nevada Department of Transportation. We have worked with the Nevada Department of Transportation, and they have agreed in writing. I will tell you, I have a letter from the Assistant Director of NDOT. Just to assure you that they have agreed to alter the agreement with us that's under development right now. We'll bring it back to you to add additional funds at 95% funding to fund this entire project. That did have to come from somewhere, and that it's coming from a future project that was planned on U.S. Highway 50 East on the north side of the road. We had some funds that were planned for a future project out there. That project has not begun. We believed it was more important to get this project completed. It has more, it obviously is through the design process. We're at the finish line, and it has more use. So with that, I just want to let you know that we will be back with an amendment to the agreement to make sure that we still have a 95% federal match.
Are there any questions from the commissioners? Patrick, has anybody spoken to Coons Construction? Are we past the appeal period?
I don't know if there was a, I don't know, I don't believe the district attorney's office was involved, but I don't believe that there was any further discussion or any, there's no ongoing discussion.
Great, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for a motion.
I move to determine that A&K Earth Movers, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1415-136 East William Street Shared Use Path Project for a bid amount of $218,445 plus a contingency amount of $21,845 for a total not to exceed price of $240,290 to be funded from the Regional Transportation Fund Capital Projects Construction Account as provided in fiscal year 2014-15 budget. And do I need to add anything about what Patrick just said with the funding, or just let it go at that time? Okay. That's my motion. Thank you.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have 2 seconds. do you need clarification on that tomorrow? We'll go with a second from Commissioner Smolinski. And is there any discussion on this? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. Moving on to item F5 for possible action to determine that Diversified Striping Systems, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1415-179 2015 Long Line Striping Program for a bid amount of $128,810 plus a contingency amount of $12,881 for a total not to exceed price of $141,691 to be funded from the Streets Maintenance Fund Long Line Striping Account as provided in fiscal year 2015-2016 budget.
This is an annual project. Obviously, we do it every year. The only thing, this is, you know, typically center lines of roads, and we do a lot of the work at night so it doesn't disrupt traffic. The only thing to note is that we're pleased that we did get more than one bidder. In the past, we have frequently only had one bidder. We actually had two bidders, and one of them was actually under the engineer's estimate.
Do we have any questions? Is there any public comment? I'll bring this back to the board for a motion.
I move to determine that Diversified Striping Systems, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1415-179 2015 Long Line Striping Program for a bid amount of $128,810 plus a contingency amount of $12,881 for a total not to exceed price of $141,691 to be funded from the Street Maintenance Fund Long Line Striping Account as provided in fiscal year 2015-16 budget.
Do we have a second?
Yes.
Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Passes unanimously. Moving on to item F6, information on the award of a grant from the State of Nevada Aging and Disability Services Division. Patrick?
Thank you. Once again, just an informational item, but we haven't had a chance to have this on the agenda, so I just want to make sure it is very publicly announced that we were successful in getting a renewal of a grant that we've had for several years now. This is from the Aging and Disability Services Division of the state. It allows us to provide free rides to seniors ages 60 and over on the fixed route Jack bus system, and it's open to any senior in Carson City, and they are available at the Carson City Senior Center. And simply go to the senior center, ask for a form, fill it out, and they'll give you a pass that provides unlimited free rides on the fixed routes, and I haven't seen the numbers yet for the year that just ended, but we typically transport about 70,000. Is that correct?
It was just over 70,000 again this year.
Just over 70,000 free rides for seniors, and this is actually beneficial to our budget because the funding that we get actually exceeds what they would have paid had they paid us. And it allows us to get more federal funding. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Any comments from commissioners? Seeing
go ahead, people coming out of town just ride the bus or what?
I don't know that, but they're welcome to do so.
Is there any public comment on this item? This is an information-only item, so we will move on to item F7 for possible action to approve amendment number 4 to contract number 0910-184 with Route Match Software, Inc., to request an extension of the time and value representing an increase to the contract in an amount not to exceed $70,965.40 through December 31st, 2015 for the ongoing support and maintenance of the automated vehicle location mobile data communications module for Jack and Jack Assist. Who's taking this?
I'll take it. Route Match is a software that we actually have been working. So we're a software provider that we've been working with for about 5 years now. We have we use their service both for fixed route and paratransit services. They do important things for us, like the software that allows us to schedule rides for disabled persons on Jack Assist using GPS technology. While we've had success with them in the past, we are in the process of considering if we want to continue with them or possibly move to a different contractor. The proposed amendment before you will allow us to continue to fund the current services through the end of the calendar year, which we believe will allow us to make a decision going forward on either extending with them for a longer period of time or pursuing service with another provider.
Are there any questions or comments from the commissioners? I do have one comment, and that is, yeah. In our packet, in the explanation for recommended commission action on page 2, there's a correction to the dollar amount in the second line. Instead of $82,000, it should say $70,965.40.
Thank you very much. The good news is that it was that money to begin with, but Graham got them down about $11,000.
Great. Is there any public comment on this item? Our public is gone, so we will bring this back to the board, and I will entertain a motion.
Chairman, I move to approve amendment number 4 to contract number 0910-184 with Route Match Software, Inc. to request an extension of time and value representing increase to the contract in an amount not to exceed $70,965.40 through December 31st, 2015 for the ongoing support and maintenance of the automated vehicle location mobile data communication module for Jack and Jack Assist.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. It's unanimous. Moving on to item F8 for possible action to approve the donation of bus 4226, which has exceeded its useful life in transit service, to the Carson City Senior Center not before August 2015.
Patrick? Thank you. As indicated in the form, we have received two new buses that have been under construction for a number of months. They are being prepared for service. We expect them to be in service this month. We therefore can dispose of the two oldest buses of our fleet of a similar type, which have exceeded their useful service lives. We have had a request from the Carson City Senior Center to receive one of those buses. They also applied for a grant from the Aging and Disability Services Division and were awarded that grant, but that was dependent on them locating a vehicle to use to provide service to seniors that were not served by the Jack system. So we are asking, and we are able to do this because the value is less than $5,000, we're allowed to do so, and the reason for the August is that we need to make sure that our vehicles are in service first, and we're going to have them on hand for the fair just in case we need them.
Patrick, just to clarify for anybody that may be watching out there, when you say that they have exceeded their useful life, that doesn't mean that they
are broken down.
No.
They still have useful life.
No,
just
no, yes, absolutely. They're, the federal government, if you use federal funds to purchase any piece of equipment, including a vehicle, they assign a lifespan to whatever that piece of equipment is. And at the end of that assigned lifespan, the federal interest is extinguished. So they do not have an interest in it anymore as long as it's not worth much money.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that we are not pawning off a broken down bus on the senior center.
It's in service today.
Yeah. Do we have any comments or or discussion from the commissioners? Is there any public comment? Seeing none, I will bring it back to the commission for a motion.
I move to approve the donation of bus 4226, which has exceeded, I don't know whether to use that term or not, exceeded the federal requirements for giving them away in transit service to the Carson City Senior Center, not before August 2015, if that's an acceptable motion there.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. It passes unanimously. Moving on to item F9, information on the donation of bus 4228, which has exceeded its useful life in transit service to an eligible governmental agency or nonprofit organization following action by the RTC at its August 12, 2015 meeting.
Yes, this is an informational item. This is the second of the two buses I previously referenced. In the past, we have disposed of vehicles in different methods. We do receive requests periodically from various sources, whether they be governmental agencies or nonprofit agencies, requesting a potential future vehicle. The reason why we have this on this for information is to help inform the public that there is another vehicle available. There will be an ad in the newspaper tomorrow and something on our website as well to make sure it is known. We actually have a letter or two already on hand that have been submitted. And any interested entity is welcome to put in a request. We expect to receive those through Monday, July 27th. We will be receiving letters of interest, and we expect to take whatever letters of interest that we have and bring those back before the RTC at its August 12th meeting for a decision on who among those requesting the vehicle shall receive it.
Are there any questions or comments from the commissioners? Seeing none, this is an information-only item, so we will move on to internal communications and administrative matters. Item G1, street operations report.
In the matter of expediency, I don't know if there's anything that was out of the ordinary to report here, so unless we have any questions, we can move on to item G2, which is the capital projects.
Are there any questions or comments from the commissioners? Seeing none, feel free to move on.
Okay, thank you, sir. The east-west transmission main, the first one here, is one that I need to clarify the status. It is going to go out to bid next week. So that is still coming. That is an important water project, a very important water project, but it also will have a significant impact on Washington Street here in the coming months. So we want to make sure that we bring that up. William Street path improvements, that project was just awarded this evening. The Western Nevada College sidewalk improvements, this will be the last month we have it on here because I hear they're going through the punch list for the project being done. We're very happy to get that one off of the to-do list, which are where it has been for some time, and we appreciate WNC's patience with us in getting it done. Long Street sidewalk improvements have been awarded. I just talked to Chris, the construction manager, today. He thinks the contractor is a couple weeks out, but he'll be here soon. The Clear Creek Avenue Sanitary Sewer Extension project is underway, and there will be a detour route here shortly. As like I mentioned previously, that's one of the reasons why we are resurfacing Arthur, because that will be used as a detour. Once again, a very important utility project that will have transportation road implications. Now, Little Lane Roadway Reconstruct, once again, was awarded earlier at this meeting. Division Street, already discussed, we expect to award the September meeting, importantly, before the downtown project. Carson City Freeway Multi-Use Path, we just got a notice to proceed for the design phase this last week, so we're happy to be moving forward with that as well. slurry seal I covered previously. We're going to be doing some finishing up, and I will note specifically we're doing most of it at the end of July, but the contractor is coming to town this Saturday to do not only work for down on Arthur, but also on Old Hot Springs Road. We previously entered an agreement with the Nevada Department of Transportation to allow them to put micro surfacing on a road that we're responsible for. That's going to happen this Saturday as well, at NDOT's cost, but it's happening. And the long line striping contract was just awarded this evening as well.
Thank you, Patrick. Going back to the east-west water transmission main, if that's going out to bid now, when do you anticipate construction starting, in August?
I believe it's September. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments from the commissioners? We'll move on to item G3, future agenda items.
If I may just go as fast as I can, we're bringing back to you a revised service plan for providing ride-home transit service for students at WNC. We have an alternative service delivery method we're working on that we expect to bring back to you at the next meeting prior to the start of the school year. We are still in negotiations with MV Transportation on a one-year extension of their contract, which we need to get completed by September. As I mentioned, we expect to bring an agreement on that FLAP grant, the Federal Lines Access Program grant for Sierra Vista Lane. It's just a scoping agreement this time, but back to you at the August meeting. That amendment to the Transportation Alternatives Program grant agreement for William Street, and information on that triennial review that I mentioned last month, the results of that audit by the Federal Transit Administration that we have now formally received and are preparing a response to.
Thank you, Patrick. Jim?
Patrick, so then we'll also be talking about the bus too, correct?
About which bus? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, thank you very much. Yes, the bus to donate. Yes, thank you very much.
Are there any other questions or comments from the commissioners? Go ahead, Rob.
One quick question. The South 395 from Fairview to Clearview, appears to be a bunch of sidewalks that are buckling. What's the cause of that? Do we know?
It's the heat, the severe heat. We have it all over town. Those are obvious ones, but we have other ones in town. Fortunately, those ones are still NDOT owned, and so we're pointing them in that direction. I don't know whether or not they'll get fixed. But.
Any other questions or comments by the commissioners? We're on item H.
I'm sorry, just one moment. You mentioned South 395. NDOT is well into design on the repaving project of South Carson Street from Fairview South to Snyder. And the community should be aware that that is planned for next year, and that NDOT is planning their public involvement efforts to involve the businesses in their plans this late summer and fall to discuss with them their plans for what they'll do next year.
And I just want to say that I appreciate Rudy saying earlier that we have time, if we have changes that we would like to suggest, that we have time to suggest those. Okay, Patrick? Wink, wink. Moving on to item I, public comment. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment at this point? Since we have no public, we will move on to item J, adjournment. Do I have a motion?
Move to adjourn.
We're adjourned. Thank you.